646-716-5525. And don't forget to press the one button when you call in. And as we get this show up underway right here. But I'm going to play a little bit, me and Kevin talking, you know, so stick around.
Not ready.
Oh, yeah, that's the late, great Kevin Ross here on the Bobby Eaton Show. And we're honoring him, and we're doing this tribute to him, with he and his family. And in the studio, I've got Ed Ross. How are we doing, my brother?
You're doing good. How about yourself?
Hey, man. How things going with you and the family?
Well, we have an ups and downs. We get to some of the comments on Facebook, and one of them gives me clear. After having a couple of family members pass, my little brother, my real friend, and my mother passed recently, to have this happen, it's different. It's been a little different. And all those emotions from my youngest brother, another brother, they all kind of poisoned me.
Yeah, man. I kind of know, because me and Kevin, we talked all the time, and we were talking, and I was talking about your mother. He was telling me about your mother. We would talk late. See, we would talk late at night, 11, 12, me and Kevin on the phone. And he says, man, my mother, man, it don't look too good, And next thing I know, she passed, and I say, man, I know the feeling because my mother passed. So I know how you're feeling, man. He said, yeah, it's me here at the house. And that was that. So when I came to the service, your mother's service, he was setting up the cameras and stuff, And now, how long has it been? He's gone. What, a month, maybe?
Month and a half?
Yeah. And he's gone. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, like, wow, it hit our community. I know it hit your family and hit everybody else,
But I wouldn't call it an irony, but when we roll the tape back to Reggie passed away on a Monday. He was buried on my mother's birthday.
Oh, my God.
My mother passed away on a Monday. The time she passed away was 6/18. That's Kevin's birthday. Kevin passed away on a Monday on my kid's birthday, May 8th. So we're perpetually afraid of Mondays and birthdays and birthdays the following Monday.
And you're having a service on a Monday.
Exactly. So it's just weird or odd how those things kind of line up. And a lot of people ask me why the 29th. Well, excuse me. Think of it this way. The 29th, that Monday, that location is historic in and of itself. So we're celebrating a victorious life of a young man that left us too soon on a historic street at a historic building that my father founded on a historic day, Memorial Day. A lot of people don't know. Sydney, you may remember, I challenged you all one time in your opinion with me. That Memorial Day, the actual origin of Memorial Day was started by freed slaves in the 1860s. In 1868, the government said, that's a pretty good idea. What's about that? And then in 1968, Lyndon Baines Johnson declared a national holiday. So we're celebrating at a historic place, on a historic street, on a historic day, a person who loved history. So Kevin was big into history and symbolism. So this whole ordeal that we've been going through the last year has been historic and symbolic as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, introduce your family members who's in the studio with us right now.
Awesome. First, I want to introduce my baby sister, Donna Ross.
Hello.
Donna's nickname when we were kids was Duck.
Duck, okay. Okay, okay.
Don't start.
And my brother's favorite niece from Atlanta.
Okay, Miss Sydney.
Hi, everybody.
You guys, welcome to the tribute show.
So one of the things about our family, Tommy, Bobby, I'm sorry, you kind of heard
them. Tommy? Okay.
That's
my
nickname.
Okay, that's your nickname?
Tommy from Mars.
Okay.
He wasn't working, but he was still standing. And we was like, you don't have a job. Tommy
from Martin, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big house in Brooklyn Viper. Like, we don't understand where you get.
Oh, that is too funny. Okay, Tommy.
Tommy. That was a Freudian slip. I was supposed to say that. We're supposed to remind everybody. But the one thing about my family, historically, and my dad started this, is we try to find laughter and the joke in everything, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the occasion is. We try to find the laughter that's funny in. Sometimes, as Donna would say, we're masking the sadness, you know, keep from crying, you gotta laugh. So you might catch us bantering back and forth because that's just how we do things. My nieces and my nephews and my son attacked me before my mother's homegoing, and I was completely defenseless. And they brutalized me. I had nothing. And our family, you got to come, you know, every time the family gets together, you got to bring a bag of snappy comebacks with you.
Because mm-hmm.
if you don't have a bag full of snappy comebacks,
they're going to get you.
They're going to get you.
And don't bring your significant other or a friend that doesn't understand the snappy comebacks. Because we'll come off a little rude, a little hard.
A little hard.
Yeah.
That's that raw
thing. That's
that
raw. It's very
yeah.
raw.
Yeah. You guys got it honest. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about Kevin coming up as a kid. What was he like?
Well, I was a baby girl, the only girl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kevin was like in high school when I was, you know, coming up. And my memories of him, he always left something for us. He was something for you. And I can remember, I guess, after going, hanging out, you know, Friday night, he would always have food, like candy.
Oh, really? What did
he? So I would get up early in the morning, and I'd go in there, and I'd get everything.
All the snacks, huh?
Because I felt like he left it for me, you know? I felt like he left those things for me. So I would go in there and just clean house. I'd just take care of the snacks.
Uh-huh. What kind of snacks would he bring in? Snickers or something? Candy?
It was like a sour, a cherry ball.
Uh-huh.
You have those.
Yeah.
Now later.
Okay.
I guess that's why I'm but then growing older, I can remember, you know, Kevin going to Texas Southern.
Yeah, I remember when he was down there.
And he used to come home with the neatest things. He was just a celebrity to us when he came through the door. He had some fancy hats, the fancy clothes, any gig that was out. Had it. So, you know, we idolized that about him. And even I had the privilege to go to Houston to spend time with him down there my senior year. And I was able to go to Fairview to visit that university and other universities in Houston as well. But it was really nice to be around him with that experience. And then I've also spent a little time in a work capacity because at one point in time we were working in the same building. And he found a way to, and if you knew the school we worked at, it was like mostly Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But he found a way to educate the kids about Greenwood. At any opportunity he got, you saw a film up there, a video up there. He even had some kids go on a field trip. In Black Wall Street. Last summer, matter of fact, they went to visit Black Wall Street and he told the history about that. And, you know, he just any opportunity that he had to give.
About Greenwood,
about
huh?
Greenwood, it was there, and he can link up. If your last name was Smith, he can link you up somewhere down on Greenwood.
Or you're related to
something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
When Kevin come up with text stuff, he did have a lot of cool stuff. Although Donna did get the candy, we had Red Bruce ready to bag to take all his cool shirts out. Before he came home, we all had the shirts on. He would be curious.
What are you be? Oh, you be wearing his clothes?
Oh, his clothes on. He's always that guy who had the edgy fashion.
Right.
Playing guy, so I saw that stuff.
Okay. I got you.
But Kevin has always been an artist. He started playing bass. He was in the fifth grade when we were in Indiana, and he's by far one of the best bass players at his age. Even while he was in high school students at Wood High School, he won award after award at the city contest where you competed, you did a solo thing, and you competed against every other high school in the city, every other person in the city you competed against, and you always came out with a gold medal.
Yeah, Kevin was a great bass player. You know, he played bass and stuff like that. I remember when I was on tour and on road, well, even before then, when he first got back, he came over to my house. You know, and he and your dad came over to my house and we chopped it up. That's, and he told me, hey, man, I play bass. I said, okay, cool. You know, and I could tell, you know, that he was a good bass player. You know, and he had a music man, Fender Music Man or something like that at the time. And he was into that music, man, you know. And I found out you played bass as well.
Yeah,
y'all were like rival bass players, huh?
We were, and it takes Donnie Horner to tell a story. I played sax in high school. I played tenor sax and band and American sax in the jazz band, but I always wanted to be a bass player. So I told my dad, I demanded one Christmas, if you don't get me a bass for Christmas, I don't want any bass for Christmas. That's what I got for Christmas, Bob.
What, a bass?
No, in corduroy shorts.
Awesome. Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
So I went to my mom and said, well, that's, you told your father that you, if you needed your bass, you didn't want anything, so you got nothing. The next year, I got the bass. I still have that bass. But prior to getting that bass,
wow,
I would take Kevin's bass, go to the bathroom, lock the door, and teach myself how to play. And he would be furious because the bass wasn't clean exactly where he left it. I didn't lock the case back up, and every time he would leave the house, I'd sneak his bass out and start teaching myself how to play. We were rivals to the extent that our styles were dissimilar. He's more of a theoretical finger type player. I was more of a
thumper.
More of a funky bassist, and that's where we kind of made our connections.
He
wrote a song called Sibling Rivalry, which we played for him. He wrote that song because of us. And every one of my class reunions, we would play that song.
Well, yeah, he was a great guy, man. You know, he's going to be really, truly missed, you know, in our community. Boy, and he was knowledgeable. You know, he was one of those kind of guys that you could have a conversation with Kevin for hours, talking about Greenwood, talking about the community, talking about people, black people, period, and the origin of black people. That's why I guess me and him just connected so well, because we had a lot in common. You know, and when you have things in common with people, you just go there with them, you know. And after talking to him for a while, and I used to tell Kevin, we used to always talk about, sometimes we talk about weight. Man, we need to lose weight. We say that all the time. I say, man, I'm trying to lose some. You know, and Kevin started gaining weight. You know, he started gaining weight. And he said, yeah, man, I got to work on it. I got to get that discipline. I got to get on in there and that. And I said, yeah, man, because I was up there too. And but that was my dude, man. That was my go-to guy. And when he took on the Mass Graves, now when he took on that project, I said, "Whoa, man! Well, you got to be a man to take on that project." You know,
he has an amazing capacity. I only do the discovery now. The depth and breadth of knowledge. One of the I don't know
anybody in our community who can replace him in that way to continue on mission. You know, I just don't know.
It's a great one. It's, you know, Kevin, he was the man with the community in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get close to that microphone right there so everybody can hear you.
Growing up with my uncle, I don't know, he was different. He was quiet, but he knew everything. He was quiet.
Really?
Uncle.
Okay.
He's a quiet uncle.
Oh, wow, that's something new.
We always had a joke. Don't be drilling in you, going through it. Like my mom said, he had a way of making, you know, younger generation, you know, anybody that can learn know about anything. Because I remember one day, I didn't know much about Michael Jackson until my uncle said, he literally saw all of us down and let us watch Thriller. And that's one of my fondest memories of my uncle. We were all in his room watching Thriller, or we'll walk down Greenwood and he'll show us different things and tell us different things. And a lot of my knowledge about, you know, the 1921 race and Greenwood in general came from my uncle. I even had a Black History Report about the 1921 race riot.
Master.
And I didn't know about that until, like, my uncle brought it to my attention. And he made sure that you knew about it, made sure that you were aware and you understood it. So, everywhere I go with somebody, you don't know about those odds. But you don't know about Massacre, you don't know? I drill it in like you did.
Right. But look here, we got a colleague. Hold on a second. 281-333, you're on the show.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, Bobby. This is Mike Smith down in Houston. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. I'm watching the tribute, and just a funny story, humorous story. I met Kevin several years ago, probably 10 years ago, and struck up a conversation with him. And, of course, he was a member of the Ocean of Soul band here at Texas Southern University, and so I actually knew him from there. Obviously, I'm several years older than him, but at football games and basketball games and other events, we had a very large Tulsa contingent that were a part of the Ocean of Soul band, and so we were reminiscing about his time in the band. And the interesting thing would be every time that I saw him, I normally would see him down in Lower Greenwood or somewhere. Whenever I come home, he would ask me, "Hey, did you bring me my Frenchies? Frenchies chicken."
You get all the time.
Yeah, Frenchies chicken is a very famous African American owned restaurant establishment here in Houston. And he always would say, "Mike, make sure you bring me a 6-piece, dirty rice, and a red soda, a strawberry soda, and a slice of lemon cake." And so we'd always get a chuckle out of that, and I'd always tell him that I would bring him some. And actually, about 2 months ago on Facebook, I told him that I had his 6-piece cancer special in tow, and I was bringing it to him. But on a more serious note, what a great man in terms of his love for Tulsa, particularly North Tulsa. A lot of when you think of some of the work that he's done, obviously you think about the mass graves. You think about the stuff that he did in Lower Greenwood. But the thing that I was most impressed about him was his love for North Tulsa. It wasn't just about Greenwood. It wasn't just about Black Wall Street. All the way back to trying to save B.C. Franklin Park, all the things that he did in support of Booker T. Washington High School, some of the things that he did further north, when you get past 36th Street North, 46th Street North, 56th Street North, and some of the things that are going on there in economic development. He was just he was a quiet leader. The one thing that impressed me the most about him is he was not one who ran to a camera, ran to a microphone, or ran to anything like that. The cameras and the microphone sought him out, and his leadership his leadership skills, his quiet leadership, he was to be commended for how he carried himself as a man and as an advocate for North Tulsa. And so I just wanted to jump on, Bobby, to express my thoughts and remembrances of Cavan. And I may not be able to get up there on the 29th to participate in a memorial service, but I did want to share with you what a great man Cavan was, and just a really a community treasure. That's all I got, Bobby.
Thank you for the number 646-716-555 and press 1 button. Again, the number is 646-716-5525. Hey, we're getting ready to do, let's see, we're going to go to break right quick, and we're going to be right back. You're on the Bobby E. Show. Our story our way. This is a special edition tribute to Cavan Ross. You know, and we just want to make sure that everything's okay. What is that? Break. Couple of little slitty flip. I'll play a couple of commercials and we're going to come back.
Okay. Is there anything that we should kind of put on that makes people aware of about Kevin's person? Because we have millions of stories about
Tell them. Development Authority.
So what is the Development Authority?
Downtown City Hall. They took on one of the floors up there.
Okay.
And then they moved out of here, and this was vacant. And I thought, I jumped in it because it was perfect for what I was trying to do.
I'm glad to hear you got a voice. Right, a voice.
And this is your radio station. This is y'all's radio. It's for me. I look at it as a place of doing what I'm doing right now for y'all. I don't care if you're homeless or you the mayor. Anybody come in here and we tell our stories away. This is the last commercial. We're going to go back on after this one. Good? You need to kind of charge right back. What kind of?
Yeah, you got to get up to the airport.
Kind of okay. Okay. Yeah, we can get out of there. Where are you?
Back to Atlanta.
Back to Atlanta, huh?
we couldn't
take it. We're back here on KOB 89.9 FM radio, and we're doing a special edition tribute to Kevin Ross here and his family. You dial the number 646-716-5555 and press that one button. We go to the phone line again, and we're going to just, let's see what's going on. Let's see what's going on here. Let's see. Here is 918-406-6455. You're on the bottom.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Ross family, Ed and Donna and Sydney. This is Kim Jackson, was former news reporter and anchor at K2L for many years. And thank you, Bobby, for allowing this moment to talk about Kevin. His death has really saddened me because I realized I lost a friend, but also Tulsa lost a treasure. And one thing about his passing and losing him is that I'm so glad that he was finally really recognized and seen for all the good that he did and was so sought after to tell the story that he's been telling for many years. And so I was always very, very happy to share the microphone with Kevin and to interview Kevin because I knew what a wealth of information he carried. And he was so passionate about history and Tulsa, and he always – I appreciated the way he always, like, told it like it was. So a lot of times when you interview historians, sometimes it'll be difficult to understand what they're saying or to understand the history. But Kevin always made it very plain. He was always very interesting. He was always very funny. And really, he was always really accessible. Like, Kevin would hustle for an interview for us. I mean, if we said we needed him, he would do his best to be there. So I interviewed him at the cemetery. I interviewed him at his school where he worked. For many years, we did a story with him about the cemetery, black cemetery that he felt had been ignored, overrun, forgotten, those forgotten graves. And so I just will always remember Kevin for his passion and his spirit. And I just wanted to come on and just say a couple of words about him and what he meant to me, as well as the Tulsa community.
Well, thank you, Kim Jackson, hey, for calling in on this day. Ed, you guys? Yeah. Okay, Kim. You take care, all right?
Speaking of you all, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You know, Bobby, one of the things that I think we have to talk about in this season is healthcare.
Healthcare, yeah.
Healthcare.
Very important.
Black men historically, this way, way back, do not go to the doctor. They just recently start going to the doctor. We make it a point every few months.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot can happen after you turn 40. A lot can happen if you turn 40.
A lot can happen.
And it is a healthcare crisis in these underserved communities. What about what underserved communities? I'm about any underserved community, Hispanic, white, black, no matter. There's a history, and it's being ignored. And I think
one thing concerns me too, and I go back on to getting out and vote. Some people that are making decisions as far as our health care. Because one thing happened, and I thought and all of this stuff, and I learned that my brother was missing, and it had been 24 hours, and I'm going over to these hospitals trying to call my brothers, and it's like they didn't have anybody. They didn't have anybody. They didn't have, I mean, literally. And then the next day, the police came to the house and they were able to sit in there. And the police came and literally told us, oh, what happened to your brother? He was riding his bike and stopped. And then they began to tell us that Gilchrist had him. That's all I told him.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I called Gilchrist, they were denied. I was like, well, do you have a John or Joe Doe? And they kept saying,
John.
We don't need John Doe. And I literally had to have the post say, oh, you don't have to shout out. Y'all
right.
Mm-hmm. Y'all had it on you guys. And they called me something else, and went to, I had to identify something significant because so had to make again people.
Mm-hmm.
His vocal record. We were all on the same wavelength with it when they told us. And not to mention, it's just that, you know, I'm not sure, and I've been down this road twice so far, but it seems like somebody is missing the punch when it comes to care for people. I don't know if they expect this person may not have insurance or don't have insurance or whatever, but I know it's different treatment.
Yeah.
So it is.
I know you guys just been going through that.
Went through it with my mom and then turn around and go through it with my father. So, you know, this is just crazy. But I want to also the little girl that saw her. She's looking out the window. She saw him. She saw all this go on. She called her dad, who was on the other side of town. Rushed to this town, called the ambulance, and he was working with you know. I was just speaking to a friend, and he said his brother had a heart attack, and before he knew it, his body was at the morgue. So, you know, it's instant. It's that it makes me wonder, what could we be done, you know, for each other? How could we do for anybody? Because something has to give. We can't do that for it.
Well, kind of like Ed, what you said, black men especially, we have to start going to the doctor early, catch things before they get out of hand. And that's something that we last minute to go get ourselves checked. Our significant others have to go set appointments or something like that. We really take care of it. You know, our women are the doctor, but we just as go through that pain. Something to be hurting us and we act, it don't even exist. Know what we need to do.
Right. It's been a long time in healthcare, and 20, 30 years there. And that's why I'm sensitized to the medical environment. That's why I go to the hospital. That's why I go to the doctor every 3 months. I get a checkup. That's why I have your blood pressure checked out. But I'm in a minority of people who've been educated in a way that's become an expectation.
Yeah.
But if you grew up with that legacy, because it goes way, way back to Jim Crow, post Civil War, where the male was the main provider and he had two or three jobs and he just didn't have time to go see the doctor. And again, like you were saying, the
right.
And that tradition has just perpetuated this over time. Now, those two or three jobs, educated African American man who, for some reason, don't want to go to the hospital or to the doctor until there's a problem, mm-hmm. and that is the absolute worst time to go.
Yeah,
because at that point, you can't prevent anything. All you do is treat it.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is treat.
Yeah. So the phone lines again, okay? So 405-823-5663. You're on the Bobby Lee Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Robin. Robin Copeland.
Robin,
I'm a old friend of Kevin. Hang on.
You can noise hear me? In the background. Yeah,
you can you hear me now?
Can
you hear me now?
Yes.
Hi, Robin Copeland, friend of Kevin's back from high school days. You all are being real serious, but I've got a goofy story for you. One of the ways that Kevin and I got to be really close friends is he was helping me get unstuck from the snow My car was stuck in the snow, and I destroyed every textbook that he owned trying to get traction. And then he put a blanket under my tire, and I thought he was saying go, but he was saying don't go, and I backed up, and I ran over his hand. Oh, my goodness. But from that time, we got to be like best buddies. And I know that sounds weird, but we were best buds. And I remember him eating Captain Crunch when he come to visit me. I don't know if y'all remember Captain Crunch, but that seemed to be one of his favorites. I got a picture of him eating Captain Crunch. Anyway, that's it. I just had some funny memories of my dear friend, and I just saw a red bird in my yard, which I know is one of his signals. So that made me think about him.
Yeah.
That's it. Well,
I got to explain that. I
explained
to my niece.
I'm going to
try
to turn it around. It's around now. It was one of my favorites with the
berries.
Yeah, right.
To my famous homeless, you did have to get the cobbles and get up. Give a hand.
Yeah, he did. All right, we have a phone call. Let's see if we got somebody here. Okay, area code 852 on the Eating Body Eating Show. Hello? 918-852. I guess they don't want to talk right now. But we're going to get back to the topic at hand, and that is Kevin. And what you looking for something to say? You got something for me?
I don't know.
I've been updating my niece on stuff from my high school, trying to explain to her what record it is, what Sony Walkman is. Yeah, so the telephones get plugged to the wall and hang them up that are hitting the stop button.
After my uncle passed, it was really hard for you to find a picture with him because he's always behind the camera. And I happen to be a niece that has a picture with him.
Oh, you got a picture.
So
yeah,
I
got one with
him. If anybody, if you happen to have pictures with Kevin Ross, then you made it. He made the cut because he always, even at my grandma's funeral, I showed down to me, you know, he had the pictures of all our ugly cries, and it was late that he passed before he put it out. It might have, you know,
I got
pictures of the ugly cry.
Okay.
When I say my uncle has a memory for everything, he has a picture for everything. Even when my grandmother passed, I was putting it on the show. But no, thinking about my grandma's old pictures when she was like young, about where I could go. My uncle can't.
You know, you've got to be probably have more photos and archives probably larger than anybody in Black Tulsa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where that work is, but I'm pretty sure it's a stash, you know, photos. He got stuff of everybody. I've asked Kevin for photos. He found what that one is. And one up, I bought cameras from Kevin, AirPods from Kevin. So I've done a lot of stuff from Kevin. You know, to ask him advice on, hey, man, what you do with this extra? He would give me the how to shoot and what to do and zoom in, zoom out. And he was giving me all of that in my information about photography, you know. And he was just so – you probably rarely ever see Kevin without a camera. I don't have that camera.
Yeah, we're in the process of going through some of the stuff at home. Kevin's family is just a little non-standard. It's going to take us
a minute. I know it's going to take a minute.
He's every moment. I can even think about a moment where, and this is a funny moment. I am nervous, but I'm going to go ahead. They had a fighting
picture.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, and all this stuff. So I had a body picture. And he caught my picture. He caught the wrong end.
Speaking of bikes, Kevin had a running joke. He's trying to be Kevin. I'm a cyclist, and I try to be Kevin. And Kevin rides me, but he's always been right on the other side. And I try to 20 miles there, 100 person, a bunch of pictures, and he wait on me.
Okay.
So I would invite him to the house and I'd ride the bike up and 2 degrees below and then drink. I said, well, you know, at the end of that ride, I invited him again and it would start raining. For the next 3 or 4 times, I would invite Kevin to ride the bikes with him, ride the bikes with him, it would be a running down tour. So much so that one day started Donna called me. Just you have to get up today. Yeah. I knew it from outside. Every time it was like that you one of the posts up underscore on Jim, because every time he was trying to get what I was down.
Wow. Every time, huh?
So interesting looking at all the memories. You know, when you grow up looking at the old, so now to, you know, after he's passing, looking at all the old thing, all the memories, it's like, wow, oh, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to dinner at the Sunday. And this is having to you realize that Kevin's level and why will you help? Yeah. Like, he's that popular.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
So, if you would have known, you would have been very humble and trying to change God. But he was, like I said, he was a quiet uncle, but his support was always out. So, everything was already being faced in profile pictures. And that was his way to show his love. You know, we weren't really big on the mushy stuff. Our family, we're not really like, really hug and mushy, but you know, if he's supporting you, he comes on and he's thinking of you, you know, he'll change his picture or he'll share a picture. And I'll look at it as like, okay, that's his way of showing his, you know, picture or a memory and, you know, change his profile picture. You can always see what he's thinking about how he's feeling based on, you know, he shares. So his memories are always a big deal.
So I would like to, warm dedication to the Tulsa community. I was completely overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed by the support and thoughts that we've been given from this community. I was overwhelmed with learning how beloved we are in this community. And I know that we are going to have a celebration. This Victoria's Life on the 29th, and I'm going to try to keep a promise not get emotional during that day, because it's a celebration, so we, you know, laugh, you know, play music from the artists that we do. Join us. It's like a legacy, but which, what we've learned about him. Just like anything else, somebody will pick up that mantle and get it for some of the persons are, but I'm sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I think for speaking with him. That's what he would have wanted, to have an uplifting ceremony. You know, I've always told my family, hey, don't bring no bunch of sadness. You don't have to. Hey, bring, give me a good band. And maybe let's have something that, you know, just, and Kevin was such a, he was just like that. Hey, man, you know, talk about us departing this earth. We had those conversations. And what could we leave behind, you know, for the community? And, man, he was on top of it, you know. He was on top of it, you know. So from that man race to Greenwood to being a photographer, for being a musician, for all of that stuff right there, man, he was the multitude of things he did, you know.
We all have nicknames.
Yeah. Big Willie style.
Yeah, Kevin, all the things Big Willie style.
Uh-huh.
Nicknames is Big Willie.
Really?
So that's what we're going to do.
Big Willie style. That's good. Well, it looks like we're coming to a close right here of the show. You got to get out of town. Get
I
back
to it. And that was my uncle. Every time I can't take that, he would say, I'm going to one day go out there and then run. I'm going to kick it with the housewife.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll go.
Okay.
Already. And before we get, I did something about, you know, his thing was, you know, so my dad went to Italy. I wondered about his purpose and everything. And I was like, you know, and I just wanted to just extend to the Tulsa community, everybody in Texas, and just carry on his legacy, because he has to do what he's done, and that has brought a lot of attention to Tulsa and Greenwood and the massacre. So it's an honor. We should, nobody can replace him, and he, you know, studying what he's in the night that he has, but carrying on can always help, you know, to use his passage on, always educate the family, the children, and generations to come, because that's what he would have done. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on, we got none other than Mr. Charlie Wilson. Charlie, how are we doing, man?
I'm just getting in. I'm long for me.
Yeah.
I'm good. No worries.
Man, I'm good. I'm with the Ross family, man, and we're talking about Kevin. He loved him some Gap Band.
He loved him some Gap Band, and we used to talk a lot back in the day, you know. And my manager, my parent, he would always, he could call Kevin and give his sister what was going on in Tulsa. He wouldn't trust anybody else's knowledge. He would call Kevin. Oh man, it just broke me down. I'm so happy that I could be able to.
Don not here, but Donna's here.
Hi, Uncle Charlie. How you doing? Thank you. So,
so much.
I know Kevin
is here. I just so much.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all over the place, man, you know. National news, everything. National Geographic, he was in the CNN documentary for
Smithsonian,
everywhere. It's made. Well, he was major. He was major. Iconic.
And Sidney gassing at me, seeing somebody really good.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and this is something
you like that. Want to say something? Huh? He knew real well.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Okay. Okay, we're back on KBOB 89 FM live stream as well. We're in the studio. We got the Ed Ross still here now talking about Kev Ross. This is a tribute special edition. You know, normally I don't do a lot of shows. We're going to go to the phone lines right here again. We got people calling in. Let's see what we got. Area code 918-361. You're on air.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're on air.
Yeah.
Bobby Eaton Show. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. This is C.J. Weber-Neal with the Greenwood Arts and Cultural Society.
Hey, C.J., how you doing, man?
I am, tell you the truth, man, I'm heartbroken. This one was one of the harder ones to accept. Kevin Ross was an inspiration for a lot of people on Greenwood. And especially for folks that really wanted to try to do something, to try to be a part of the community. He was one of the more open people that were there, as far as just saying, hey, you know, if you're doing something and it's there to try to benefit people, I'm behind you. I'll support you. And he was really just an amazing person. I got a chance to work with him a little bit while over at the Eagle. And he was just, man, his knowledge of Greenwood and his knowledge of the people there on Greenwood and the importance about letting the truth be told. That's just, it's inspirational, man. And you don't find too many people like that, you know, that leave that kind of, lasting impact. And so on behalf of our group, we want to extend our condolences to the Ross family. And we're definitely keeping them in our prayers. And, you know, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be able to have someone like Jay Captain Ross in our community.
You know, and he's truly missed it. We talk about him. But we keep his legacy moving on and going on, you know, and we do things in the community as well. You're involved in, hey, man, let's just keep each other updated while we're here on Earth, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much. And again, you know, thank you, Bobby, for everything that you do as well. You know, it takes folks that are willing to be able to say that, you know, this is, I'm going to use my skills, I'm going to use my talent, whatever I've got, and making sure to benefit the people that are in my community, that are in my state, and standing up for the truth. That's so important. And so we're grateful. I am deeply grateful for the opportunity to have met him. We were talking really not that long ago about Representative Ross. And because Jay Kevin had asked me about, he said, so how did you, you know, kind of learn about Greenwood or whatever? And I said, it's because of your dad. You know, I remember being a page at the state capitol, and he was on the House floor. And as a page, he summoned me over to his desk, and I thought I was going to pick up some papers or whatever. And he leaned over. He said, what do you know about Tulsa? And I told him, not very much. And he said, well, you know, when we break, I'm going to come look for you. And so afterwards, we, you know, the session broke. And I was sitting there with the rest of the pages, and he came and grabbed me up and I think one other page and took us, at that time, it was a little cafeteria downstairs in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Took us down there and told us the story, you know. And I had never heard about the Tulsa race massacre. Then it was called the Tulsa Race Riot. I never heard anything about that. And so I'm a kid from Choctaw, Oklahoma, you know. So the next week when I go back to school, you know, first thing I go, I make a beeline to my history teacher, and I'm talking about all this, and my history teacher's looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, I don't know anything about that, but come to find out, from having that knowledge and just starting to ask questions, I found out that I had family members that were, you know, a part of that. And these are folks that hadn't spoken about it, at least at that point to me, you know. And it just takes people that want the truth to be out there, you know. It takes people to be bold. And that's not easy. It is not easy, you know. And sometimes you can get frustrated, and sometimes it's just – you kind of feel like throwing your hands up. But, you know, it's folks like Kevin Ross, man, that you look at and you're like, you know what, I'm doing this because he's doing that. And other people in the community, too, that are still doing things as well. But, yeah, he's going to be missed a whole lot.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in and sharing all that information. I'm glad, you know, wants to too, and you know, it's one of those things that have that road one day, you know. And but I thank Kevin for gonna go down soon. You know.
Yeah.
I know he was gonna take the road, but you know, it happened and we're gonna just hold his legacy and continue on. Thanks for calling.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. God bless everybody. God bless you guys.
All right. If you'd like to call in, you can dial the number 646-716-5525 and press the 1 button. Again, that number is 646-716-5525, and don't forget to press the 1 button. This is a special edition of the Bobby Dean Show for and a tribute to Kevin Ross. And it's on five KB page, and we're just talking. Any more memories of a brother, man?
Yeah, the one thing people don't know, but I think they kind of do know, when Kevin was the most nurturing. Ourselves, you should be a nurse. You know how to do this. So you have patience and compassion.
Is he the one bringing it and breaking it down? And
Kim was the guy that, if, for instance, my dad is not as cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is the guy who has been patient enough to make sure my father has the things that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes.
Yeah, he told me about all that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I heard some stories.
Yeah, Kevin could weather the storm where I would be wrong. No, but Kevin knew a way. He knew how to get to my father to kind of bridge the gap and what he needed versus what the dog he needed.
Mm-hmm.
But the most nurturing out of it. And you could kind of hear him, like Sydney was saying, we're together, just have a conversation with the person that's trying to connect the dots with the family. When I get together with family, usually the antagonizer.
Okay.
Now, in the public, it's the reverse.
And he's one.
And he's very young.
Okay, I see it.
Introverted. He's
okay.
Very extra. Yeah. On the roles kind of flip.
Okay. With the family.
With the family.
With a family. But yeah, that's I guess it can be that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think all of us, we'd be just, my family, we'd be just getting it. You know what I mean? We were all extroverted. So.
And around holiday, my parents been divorced. Yeah, they've been divorced for 45 years.
Even after divorce.
Even after divorce, my father supported my mother the whole life.
Mm.
Child support for 65 years. So,
wow, still getting it out.
Still supporting my mother. Together, my father would come over, and he's usually dropping bombs. One Thanksgiving, I'll say, okay, Thanksgiving, there's no teasing, none at all. But we get 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, who on each other. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the whole family. Okay.
So, we're like, okay. We talked about all that time, because, you know, I'm coming from out of town. Kevin was there, but I'm out of town.
Mm-hmm.
We got jokes.
Everybody got jokes. I'm going to get him on this one, huh? Each other this time.
The father walks in, and he didn't want to drop the bomb, so he's going to try to tease my mother. My mother never responds.
Mm-hmm.
But this one time.
Okay.
She lit up.
Did she?
Oh,
she gave it to him, huh? But who brought him for days, huh?
Like, that's off now. My father included to 3 o'clock in the morning, just the loud and rambunctious as you can be.
Mm.
Brother to be, Donna, to be the girl right in the middle of it.
Okay, okay.
And the nephew was like, wow, they are brutal.
That is funny right there, boy. Wow. So many good memories, huh?
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about this sibling rivalry. What is that all about?
Yeah. I go teach myself how to play bass and do Kevin hiding bass when he leaves the house.
Yeah, we heard that.
style was completely different.
Yeah, he was a finger player. Yeah.
So, and in high school, he wrote two songs. One was called "True Love" on James Agency, and the other was called "Civil Rivalry." And "Civil Rivalry" was basically a bass duet. This was his way of having the upper hand, because I had to play the bottom. He had the solo line.
Okay, that's what that was. Okay. I got you.
That was his way of being on top.
I got you.
He changed the funks of the and stuff like Stanley Clark.
And
on
the run, solo. Yeah, the solo and the jazz.
Yeah,
lead for it.
I was never that interested in the
bottom.
The
groove.
Yeah, right.
Well, I remember he said about him, one of those, what's it called, sitar?
Keytar,
yeah. The keyboard, guitar,
right.
Deals. And here, I remember when he bought the box guitar, bass. Every time he buys something, he tells me about it, you know, and I hear about it. But, yeah, man, he's going to be truly missed, man, you know. And the service is going to be May 29th,
right?
Greenwood Culture Center.
11 a.m.
Yeah.
Try to be as far as the Greenwood process as possible. I want to be present. I'm sure my family wants to be present. We want to celebrate this young man's life going forward. And somehow, about how you can protect this important. He was a multi-dimensional person who had hands in just about everything. He didn't sleep but maybe 4 hours a night.
He did. Yep.
Yeah.
And we talked later.
Maybe.
And I had to tell him, man, I'm getting ready to go to bed, man. You know?
Yeah, he used to be on level 10.
Yeah, he'd be on level 10. All right, man, I'll talk to you tomorrow. One time I was talking and I went to sleep on the phone.
And
you know?
I woke up, he was still talking.
Yeah, well, he was going about body conversation. And so when you're talking about things that he was talking about, you know, so that was hidden.
Yeah, my father started this Greenwood March back in 1960. I mean, we talked about that in the early clip that you played.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having a conversation with nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he took as far as he could in the time that he had.
Mm-hmm.
The mantle to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just about the time Kevin came back also. But Kevin literally picked up his work.
Your dad's work?
Picked up my dad's work.
Mm-hmm.
And started driving it. And I can tell you that my dad would have never imagined this far from watching.
Yeah, watching.
The
opening
scene was the red master.
Mm-hmm.
So when we told the red master, okay, that's when things started to really go off as far as the attention that was paid to the master that happened in 1921. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's that time, huh? But not a whole lot happened until that hit the screen. And then it was a snowball effect. Looking back on that tragedy, the reason it changed from Wyatt to Mather in 1995, the report was finalized, is because when they did all the analysis, Wyatt is usually Klan members in Indianapolis and Dallas talking for the Tulsa. And all they were looking for was a reason.
That gave them a reason.
And that gave them a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
a lot of jealousy and
envy. You had a community of 10,000 homes that the dog turned over in.
Yeah, 15, 30 times.
19 times.
And all the economic, black economic development.
Sufficient.
And hey, they were jealous and envious of
think about the totality of all. That it's something that rise to. It's hard to think about if you disobey that people or me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even had a chance to be a part of a play during the centennial, and every time team night, we would be played at it over and over and over again. And I have a picture of knowing it. And we post play shows after the match. There are still people here in Tulsa
mm-hmm.
who their first time hearing it 2 years ago.
This song is just, you know, they actually really heard it and know what it's all about, you know, figuring it all out. So, you know, I didn't know about the massacre until I came really in the high school. You know, it was all right at our door. Right about it, you know, graduating and things, you know, because they didn't talk about it in our community.
They didn't. Even my father.
The singers didn't. Yeah.
They didn't really help him. They thought he was taking the bandaid off the wound.
Yeah. And then that's what a lot of them thought.
Right.
They did not want it to reoccur.
Right.
That's why they didn't talk about it. But they know our generation, we would have been violent with
yeah.
it. It would have been crazy, you know, and happen.
One of the things Kevin talks about, I put a picture on it, and I think some of you in the program, there's a picture of Kevin standing at the overpass on Greenwood, right under the bridge.
I've seen it. I've seen that photo. Mm-hmm.
That corner of Greenwood and Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Kevin took that picture there, that was to our great grandfather's loud.
He told me.
Yeah. So when we hear things about race theory in the schools. It's
mm-hmm. not. It's not, yeah.
Teach kids that, hey, well, guess what you did to mine. Mm-hmm. When we start thinking about that, critical race theory speaks to how race is a part of African American. It always has. It plays a role, a significant role in the judicial system.
Yes.
It plays a significant role. So when I start hearing people talk about that, and I'm like, okay, I'm just imagining if what would have happened had Greenwood never.
You know, I thought about that so many times. Could you imagine what we would be in our community?
I have a chain. I'd be the president of a chain of the school.
Man, who are you talking about?
In the book, there's one passage that caught my attention. And reminds me of legacy at this lounge. And what he speaks is like, this guy owns himself a truck. And he made his money with the truck. And the truck, he housed his family, fed his family, educated, he clothed his family. Well, what did he do with his truck? Well, a year his truck comes missing.
Mm-hmm.
Stole it.
Yeah.
The person that stole the truck was a Caucasian male. This man went to the police and said, Billy Bob, what are his names? Stole a truck. There's my truck. He has a truck, so we can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
The police didn't do anything about it. That stole a truck. So a year passes. I lose the truck. Time passes on. This guy has an entire corporation where he started a truck that he stole. And the guy that he stole the truck from is homeless. So you can talk about the harm of critical race theory. Let me tell you about the harm of racism. Let me tell you about the harm what slavery did to an entire race. Your racist culture. You bring my ancestors to, you stole my ancestors from Africa.
Rather than
the land that you stole and get mad when you don't stand for something that you stole from England.
Exactly.
Get the people to realize, I mean, that is
like. Yeah, you know, that, what you just explained right there is some of the stories that Kevin would talk about. He would constantly tell the story that you just explained. And we repeat these stories to our people to try to get them educated with this knowledge so they'll know what happened back at that time frame. Because we as African Americans, we built the country. You know, the backs of us, we built the country. We built the White House. We built the Capitol. We did all of that stuff in other parts of this country. And there were several stories throughout the nation. Ours got a lot of attention due to the fact that, hey, it was a massacre. It was a riot, you know. And they say 300 people got killed. I believe it was more, you know. We bought all down here around Greenwood and Archer and probably the baseball field. The baseball field. We'll never know anything about over there where OSU is and all of that right there. So a friend of mine, one time when they were building OSU, he was working for one of the contractors driving a backhoe. He was digging up the ground. He kept saying, man, what are all these bones?
Mm.
You know, supervisor, white supervisor, hey, you keep on digging. You don't even talk about that. So he just kept on, but each day he kept looking at bones. And, but he's deceased right now. But, you know, and that's telling me, hey, those were some of the bones from the mountain. But Kevin knew about all of this stuff. And, you know, when he was even discovering bones in those mass graves, he was telling about a guy shot with a bullet and was there. We found some kids. And, you know, they were all dumped down off in there. We found some DNA samples, and he was deep into it, man.
Yeah.
He was deep into it, you know, and he was working with the mayor, trying to get things going. You know, some people maybe against what he was doing, but he was doing it, man. And my hat goes off to him. And I don't know what's going to happen about it. He's not there to push the kid to get that going on right there.
You know, one of the lives I had there was Kevin, and I forgot to call Kevin was on the D.C. And we were sitting there having a conversation. Kevin had, he's so excited to tell you what he is.
Oh, he is. He's really,
yeah.
Real excited.
He gets the adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at him. I said, what he got? I said, you should probably have pity. Because he's not deciding to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And before the whole DC came up, and he said, when the basketball players, when it was filmed, this about one of the specials Kevin was invited. They did that in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny story, I was tired. They had the camera all set up in my living room.
Right
now, when I come home, I like it to be quiet. Very quiet.
But the cameras were there, huh?
The cameras were there.
Everything. And they were filming and everything.
They were filming. I was sitting in the kitchen of the bank pot. Shh. I said, whoa, how you going to shoot me in my own house?
Uh-huh.
Be careful of the eggs.
Chip. No worries about that.
Yeah.
All the time. Let's see. Your last call, 646-716-5525. Press the button. Again, if you'd like to say something about Kevin Ross, that's 646-716-5525. And don't forget to press that one button.
You know, one thing that I know is people really want is the stop the mentality of crabs in the barrel.
Oh, yeah.
There, I guess, segments of our community have different agendas. And it appeared to him that the agendas, although they were going in the same direction, were personally being in conflict with each other and their individual goals and still work together. As opposed to all those three or four different work streams that were going in parallel in the same exact direction, right? Taking advantage of these across these different groups. And you could mark around where people would hold hands and say, hey, everybody help you with that.
Right.
And that was within the community, that was the biggest dilemma in the head that did not understand. on help each one.
Yeah. You're right. You know, Tori Tyson says, my brother was always educating me, definitely going to miss my friend. Christy, lift up Kevin as documentation of the descendants of the race massacre. Okay, need your friend. Blessings to the lost family. Oh, man, we got a lot of comments coming in right here. And we just spoke with C. Eber, and just, man, he's loved by so many people. By so many people. So, we're going to come to an end right here. Anything you'd like to say before we depart?
Having a victory celebration on May 29th, 11 a.m. at the church. It's a celebration in a fair way. Ministered to a king. So I enjoy everyone to join us today.
Great. Well, you've been on a special edition of the Bobby Eaton Show honoring the late, great Kevin Ross. Some of you people didn't get a chance to hear this, they can go to 89.9 Facebook and they can play it and, you know, review it. All right, brother, hey, he's going to be truly, truly missed. So until the next time, I want you to take care. We got to start just loving enough. You know, that we got to share that love while we're here because you never know what's going on. You know she's gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that was good. Charlie called in. I knew he was gonna be. I told him, I said, man, you can call in. I talked to him right after we did.
Yeah, you know where I'm at, right up in there. What's up?